You're impossibly fast and strong. You gotta give me some answers.
I'd rather hear your theories.
I have considered radioactive spiders and kryptonite.
It's all superhero stuff, right? What if I'm not the hero? What if I'm the bad guy?
You know what you are? Your skin is pale white and ice cold. You don't go out into the sunlight.
Say it out loud. Say it.
Vampire.
Are you afraid?
No. This isn't real. This kind of stuff just doesn't exist.
It does in my world.
Well, I just want to try one thing.
Welcome to They Call This a Movie, testing the strength of friendships, one terrible movie at a time. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and other podcast services by searching They Call This a Movie. We're part of the Main Damie Network, and to find more from us, check out the website at themaindamie.com or on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at themaindamie. Welcome back to the They Call This a Movie podcast, and happy Valentine's Day. This is Anthony DelVecchio. With me, as always, is Dan Aquino and Mark Myers. Say hello, gentlemen.
Hey, I'm glad you didn't say happy Valentine's Day there.
I know how to spell and pronounce things most of the time.
And hello, Internet. How are you?
Yes, very well. Yes, it's Valentine's Day when this is dropping. We are recording it a couple days earlier. But it is the day of love and candy and flowers and Hallmark.
And loneliness.
And loneliness.
Yes.
It's happy Galentine's Day to the ladies out there celebrating with their friends. Happy Palentine's Day for guys doing the same.
Did you just make that up?
I heard someone else say it earlier today at work.
No, that's tough.
So I'm co-opting it.
Well, listen.
I may actually steal Palentine's Day. That's
there you go. Now Mark's going to steal it.
I think we're on the wrong side of history on this one.
I will Carlos Mencia that, Joe.
Mark's going to just run with it. Next year, he's just going to all out for Palentine's Day.
Don't invite me, Mark.
Yes, so it is, as I've said twice already, it is Valentine's Day. So we decided to get together and talk about a romantic movie. And we picked arguably the most romantic movie of all time. No, I'm not talking about Casablanca. I'm not talking about Gone with the Wind. And of course, talking about the 2008 film Twilight. I almost forgot the name of the movie.
Film.
Yes, this is considered a film. Twilight 2008, directed by Catherine Hardwicke, our first female director.
Breaking down walls, baby.
Yep, so this is going to be the first time I'm going to tell a female to go fuck themselves on this podcast.
We figure out a nicer thing to say.
No.
Okay. Reasonable opportunity.
Catherine Hardwicke, nice try.
it's patronizing.
Yeah. It's currently at a 5.2 on IMDb, and it's got a Rotten Tomato score of 49%.
About right.
And this is probably, I have to check the numbers, but probably the biggest box office success of any movie we've done so far.
$393 million.
Yeah. Oh, definitely then. Yeah. I didn't realize it made that much.
I think it blows everyone else out of the water.
Yeah. I think maybe Jack and Jill might have been over $100 million, but that's probably the closest. Twilight. What is your experience with Twilight? We just found out that someone's wife actually enjoys this movie, which is fine because my wife does too in certain aspects of it. But you know, he wasn't aware of that until we sat down to talk.
Yeah, I don't know my wife very well, apparently. I really thought she was more of like a 50 Shades of Grey person.
Okay.
But in terms of experience, I mean, this came out, I was a junior in college. So, you know, all the ladies were probably up in the, you know, they were swooning to the theaters. I don't recall if Jen went to see this movie. I don't remember. I mean, I obviously, as a, you know, man's man, as you can tell.
That's what we say about you.
Yep, I am the man's man on Stranger Damies, and
you bring your lunch in a pail. We get it.
Oh, yeah, I brown bag it, man. I brown bag it every day.
So one, that's the first thing I say when I describe Dan. He's like, "Yo, you know Dan. He's a man's man."
Yes. I walk to and from work. I stood as far away from this movie as possible. The books, what, you know, all that. And this was one of those things where I think just because I am a man, that I wouldn't give this a shot at all, because it was like a teeny bopper kind of movie. So I was kind of against wanting to watch this movie, but I kind of took a solemn oath. Whenever Anthony mentions a movie or picks a movie, I just follow him blindly. So I figured, you know, I manned up, I sat down, and I watched about 3/4 of this movie.
Really, all you need to say. So I'm on the opposite end of the scale in terms of that. I went and saw it in theaters when it came out, mainly for two reasons. One, I had just gotten back from college, finally graduated, and was, you know, one of the rare things to go out and just, you know, reconnect with my sister and things that I hadn't seen, you know, a whole bunch of. Going up to Penn State. So she really liked this movie. She read the books and all that. So I was like, yeah, sure. Yeah, I'll go sit in the movies. And number two is I actually do really enjoy vampire fiction. So Buffy and Angel, you know, yeah. Interview, you know, yeah. Some of that, you know, a lot of that stuff I'd watch and, you know, enjoyed, you know, watch, you know, 12 seasons of, you know, Buffy-esque stuff. But as I said to Anthony before we started, I just realized that this might be the first time I've seen this since I saw it in theaters, because it's such a prevalent thing to joke about going to see it, that I've actually never watched it a second time. So I actually doubled my viewing over the last couple days. So I don't know when you want me to do the rant about everything that's wrong with the vampires in this movie, now or when we're finished.
We'll get to that.
Okay.
Don't rush the good stuff, Mark.
I don't remember. I really don't remember the hype surrounding this movie when it first came out. I know it was a thing. But I really don't. I don't remember how big of a thing it was when, like, how long people were waiting for this or anything like that. I do know my wife has never admitted that she likes these movies, but she's made me watch at least two of them. Three. She's made me watch this one in pieces. I think this is the first time I've ever actually sat through the entire thing from beginning to end. But I have seen the last two from beginning to end. So those were also on deck for possibly watching those instead of this one, at least Breaking Dawn Part 2, because that movie is insane.
Yes, it is.
But yeah, I really, that was like after 2011. So it was already, you know, the series was almost over by the time I had actually even got a glimpse of anything like that. I mean, obviously it was a huge phenomenon. Once the first movie came out. But yeah, I don't really remember it affecting me in any sort of way.
I don't know. Yeah, obviously it didn't affect Dan. I didn't, short of, you know, being able to tease my sister about it, that was essentially no effect on me really enjoying this. I'm assuming it was one of those where, you know, the book was really popular, so a certain group of people really wanted to see it, and then, you know, word of mouth got it to get to the number it got to in terms of ticket sales. But it's pretty funny. I was thinking, Dan mentioning the 50 Shades of Grey thing about his wife. And if correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the woman that wrote the book originally had started that out as actual Twilight fan fiction.
That's correct.
So it's kind of funny that he made that connection, but obviously not knowing the history didn't trace it all the way back. But
what was the name? What was her fan fiction name? Something Ice Dragons? Jen?
Yeah, it's some yeah. Jen. Yeah, it was. Yeah, but yeah, the main thing I had a brief period there for a few years where it was Twilight movie, Harry Potter movie, Twilight movie, Harry Potter movie, to just go see them, you know, to kind of help my sister get out of the house when she, you know, had my niece who was like 4 at the time. And so it was interesting to go back because a lot of the stuff I had completely forgot how ridiculous it was. So we'll get into it, but yeah, it became this phenomenon, and vampires became a big thing around this time, I believe. I think Vampire Diaries was not soon after this, you know, in terms of a series or at least the books, you know. So
they probably capitalized on the Twilight hysteria,
right? Yeah. And it's Snow Queen Ice Dragons was the. The fan fiction website username of, I believe, E.L. James is the name of the
author.
I think so.
And that was, yes, fan fiction. Twilight fan fiction. Yeah, so stay tuned for Valentine's Day 2020 when we do 50 Shades of Grey.
when we're desperate for listeners.
Yes. That one's going to be a visual one. But we are talking about Twilight, which it's surprising it's not its own, it's not fan fiction of something else because it reads like it. But we'll get into it. So before we get into the plot, impressions, what do you think?
First impressions, I think they got the casting backwards. I think I would have rather have had Anna Kendrick as Bella, and what's her name? Kristen Stewart, right?
Yeah.
I would rather have her not in the movie at all.
Well, so not quite backwards.
Right. Robert Pattinson is as dull as me. He's pretty dull. And I don't see the love connection. You know, it's really weird. It's like a stalker kind of connection, but I don't get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah,
I'm being scolded because, like, that's such a typical guy thing to say. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's not true love. I'm sorry.
Anytime you want to jump in Jen.
She's the peanut gallery back here, but doesn't want to jump in.
Yeah, so... looking back, watching this movie, you know, a few times, I'm pretty sure without going back with second and viewings of the other 4 movies after this, I believe this is probably the best of them in terms of storytelling. It doesn't go as off the rails as I remember the other ones going. But I agree, and why I applaud it, that I would have much rather, I think Anna Kendrick fits what I've been told Bella is supposed to be like, having not read that horrible writing of Stephanie Meyer. I think I made it 1 page when I first saw the movie. I was like, nope, and closed it just because of the writing. The fact that the way the family dynamic, and we'll get into that, it made me for the first time realize that they actually, if you're smart enough, you begin to root for the other Cullens who want nothing to do with Bella. The ones that are like, why do I care about her? What does she mean to me? You know, sort of thing. And it dawned on me, like, I didn't realize that the first time I saw it. And it really, you know, was one of those things that added to, you know, the ridiculousness of, you know, how rushed this movie felt, even for being 2 hours, in terms of the relationships.
Okay, yeah, is this over 2 hours?
It's 2 hours exactly.
So it is the longest movie we've covered so far.
Yeah.
On top of being the most successful.
I checked on that because I was trying to squeeze in the second viewing before we started. Yeah. So that's the only reason I know that.
This was a major production, you know. This movie was really, it had the highest production value of any movie we've watched so far. I think Species was probably second to it. But, you know, like this had Hollywood money backing it, and it's pretty obvious.
Mm-hmm. Sure. But it looks terrible.
Yes.
Parts of it do, for sure. The way that the vampires move looks
I'm talking on a cinematography level. The color correction they decided to make everything green in this is frustrating for me.
This is good because this is stuff that you guys pick up better than I do. Like when I'm watching these movies, I kind of throw artistic value to the wind because you're not really expecting that. So I don't pick up on, you know, cinematography and I focus on the acting pretty much because you know you're not going to get a good story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I feel like you would know better than me, and I'm just coming from a strictly amateur point of view in terms of this, but I feel like they washed out too much to try to make, you know, Bella and the Cullens much paler than everyone else.
Sure. They did funky bullshit with the color. They brightened too much. And just everything that Seattle is tinted, or Washington State, I should say, is overcast and ugly looking and green. There's always that green tint to the film, and it just annoys the shit out of me. It just looks it doesn't look pretty.
And that's obviously, that was their way of, because they didn't want to have the reveal. Of what they look like in the sunlight. So,
oh my God, we'll get to that.
Yeah.
At the same time, I thought there were parts of the scenery that did look nice. You know what I mean?
The scenery is fine. You know, the post production on it, the final coat of paint on the film is just awful.
Yeah, it's a lot of post production stuff was screwed up.
I don't. I don't think this movie suffers from a incompetent filmmaker, in Catherine Hardwicke. I think she actually just had a movie come out. I think there are style choices that they made specifically in the color that is just it. And maybe it made a lot more sense 11 years ago. It doesn't hold up nowadays, I don't think. But that's just a personal opinion. I just think it's unfortunate because you do have these, very, picturesque scenery in terms of the mountains and the luscious green forests, and then everything just looks like it's a shitty gray day like what we just had today. Like everything felt like this today in the Northeast, of just a cold, rainy day. And I guess Seattle and Washington State gets known for that. And it's just, I wish they didn't lean so far into it here.
Okay. I can see where you're coming from. It is, the more you talk about it, the more I realize it was basically gray. And I think that has to do with the whole vampire thing, no?
Yeah, it's the giant cheat in this movie.
Right, yeah, it's constantly overcast out.
Yeah, so vampires can come out, which...
We all know.
We'll get to that.
All right, so I guess we're going to start with the plot. I haven't written notes as extensively as I usually do, so I'm just going to go off of IMDb's plot summary or plot synopsis. So it's probably going to be a little bit quicker, probably going to be overlooking a bunch of things. And if anybody wants to stop me and talk about something, just let me know. I'm probably not going to go scene by scene as we usually do this time, just because I didn't get a chance to write down that stuff. But I have a vague memory of the order of things. So it starts off, and we have Kristen Stewart's very bland voiceover. I'm not a huge fan of voiceovers in general. I think they work when they're Morgan Freeman and other and people of the same voice kind of quality. But Kristen Stewart is not one of those people. And
Yeah, I think they just wanted to have that impactful first line. That was the thought process, I would think.
Is that considered iconic?
No. Just the idea. She's like, you know, I never thought how I would die, or, you know, something like that.
But is that like iconic in Twilight?
Maybe it's in the book. I don't know. I'm just saying. I didn't read the books.
You said you read the first page.
Yes, it's not on the first page.
Wouldn't that be like the Lord of the Rings, how it always has the preamble, you know, three.
I'm assuming that line was either used for the screenplay, or it comes in when it repeats at the end of the movie. You know, in the book.
I think we specifically brought you on here because of your supposed Twilight knowledge.
what else is there?
It's like when people pad resumes.
Yeah, we finally caught you, Mark.
Damn.
But anyway, one of the things that I don't like about Kristen Stewart's VO is that there are points later on in the film where her voiceover kicks in, and it kind of gets abandoned towards the end, but it's a little more front loaded. There are voiceover lines she says which literally describes the previous scene exactly what we've seen.
Yeah.
So it's completely useless. like she just literally just describes the scene that we had just spent the last 5 minutes seeing, word for word essentially. But so I go back. Kristen Stewart's voiceover kicks in, and we find out that her name is Bella Swan, and she is moving from Phoenix, Arizona, because her mom is going to travel with her baseball playing boyfriend, and she needs to go live with her dad while that's going on. So she moves to Forks, Washington. This is, I guess, a suburb of Seattle.
Yeah, I would assume so.
Yeah. So, and she's, I guess, like a junior or a senior in high school. And
I think they say junior at some point.
Yeah, they do. They say she's a junior. And he is the sheriff of Forks, Washington. And he's kind of just he's just a guy that doesn't really wear his emotions on his sleeve, kind of your typical sheriff, but he seems like a pretty good dad. I guess she spends every summer with him usually. So their relationship isn't strained in any way. But I guess she's not really looking forward to her new life in Forks, Washington, because she's going to miss the heat, I think, is a specific line in her VO. Yeah.
I completely forgotten about the Arizona stuff.
Yeah.
Until it popped up, I was like, oh, yeah, they make a big deal about this.
Because she's so pale.
Yeah.
Right. So he, you know, he tries to make everything better for her. He buys her a truck from the local Native American. I don't know. What is he? Billy Black?
Billy Black.
He's just a bud, a friend from the. Lives on the reservation.
Yeah. They just introduce him as a friend in this. I think they get more into it, I would assume, later on, because. You know, the Blacks obviously become a big part of the story, but he's just sort of the friend, you know, that you know, knew Bella when she was younger, and, you know, sort of that thing, just sort of how they have to do quick introductions of these characters and just give you the basics. She does this throughout the movie.
Mm-hmm. So we meet Billy Black and his son Jacob, played by Taylor Lautner, who hasn't gotten his gains just yet.
Nope. Still a baby.
Rocking a lethal head of hair, though.
Yeah. A nice wig.
Yeah, I'd like to think it's real.
It's definitely a wig.
Yeah.
You think so? It looks good. I mean, a symbolically challenged. Can't really tell.
Did it?
And I'm a little disappointed.
And so we find out that Jacob and Bella, they used to play together as kids. So there is a relationship there, and he kind of shows her the truck and ready for her first day of school, blah, blah, blah. I guess that's like her first day of school right before that, because she then sets off to drive to school.
Yeah, I think she says the first day of school in the middle of the semester.
Right, I think she says it's like March, right?
So it looks like March, but again, Seattle weather.
It all looks like March. I apologize if I sound a little distracted. I have a cat that has decided to go a little bit nuts, so I'm kicking him around while...
all of our pets have decided this is the best time to gain on
the cat. Yeah, and I'll jump in a little bit on the, you know, the opening of the school is one of those things that... is a scene that probably would have been better played if they had more time, if this was a series, you know, a television show or something, because immediately she comes and all these people immediately like her, don't shun her as the new girl. Right. And, you know, she already has a group of four friends on her first day.
The one kid comes up to her and says he's going to write an exposé on her.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and he drops it immediately because she says no.
Yeah, no, no real journalist would give up that piece.
Yeah,
that was Eric Yorkey, the school's quote-unquote eyes and ears.
Yeah. Well, he's not very good at it if he's giving up on hard-hitting pieces like that so easily.
Yeah. I will say, when you get into the next scene when they introduce the Cullens, they actually do a much better job of that. To kind of, if you know the story, like already seen the movie, you can see some of the nice little tells, they have about what the, the difference between each of the vampires is. There's even a line that I liked that I kind of remembered, when they introduce, what's his name? The newest one, And they go, he looks like he's in pain all the time.
Jasper. Oh my goodness. Jasper looks like a deer in headlights throughout this whole fucking movie.
Yeah, because you find out later, you know, why he's like that.
What a doofy looking son of a bitch.
Yeah. But yeah, they do a nice job now that you know the backstory of most of them after watching it once. You know, and it seems like they were, I'm assuming that they tried to follow the book with those introductions, because it's very much seemed like something you would read on a page. Like, oh, and then so-and-so walks in, and then Anna Kendrick's character has this set of quotes, you know, and stuff. Like, it felt like they tried to rush this early part because they wanted to get, you know, into the romance part of the movie. Yeah, so the whole first day of school... up until we get to one of my favorite ridiculous parts. I don't know if it's lined up next on your thing or you want just me to roll into it.
Throws up smelling.
Yeah. The scene when she walks in and she's about to go up and she walks by the fan and it blows her hair. And then he looks and he does that thing where he jumps on like under the desk.
He comes in his pants.
Yeah, it's a, exactly. It is a gift that I've seen on the internet when people want to make that statement.
It was like a less cool version of the Wolf of Wall Street. Leonardo DiCaprio is biting his fist.
Yeah.
That's like a less cool version of it.
Yeah.
He jizzes that, all over his jeans.
I didn't think I wish he would have done something like that.
Yeah. And then, you know, and then the whole rest of that scene is just completely creepy of him staring, you know, at her. And, you know, and for some reason, which is my problem with Bella throughout this movie, is that for some reason, she's just like, no, I'm not going to be freaked out by this. I need to find out why he was acting like that.
That's a good point.
I'm going to confront him, you know.
It's life's mission at that point.
Yeah, it feels like maybe it's, I say this knowing the little bit of Stephanie Meyer that I read, but I would hope that in the book they explained that a little more, and it's one of those things that, you know, why she would be hard-headed about this.
Giving a lot of credit to Twilight, man.
Yeah, I am. I know I am.
He's a Twilight apologist.
But it's just like, I'm like, I don't know how it became, you know, the phenomenon it did, books-wise even, if basically most of the explanations and stuff played out as it plays out in this movie.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. So one thing before we go even further is that the non-vampire students, especially the men in this high school, they act towards Bella like they've never seen a girl before.
Yes.
Which is super weird. Especially even that nice non-vampire boy that I can't remember his name.
Billy?
Yeah, let's call him Billy.
That's Billy.
Billy or Michael or something.
The basketball kid, right?
Yeah.
I agree, because I figured when they're doing kind of like the her rundown of the day, and she's in PE class and they're playing volleyball, and she somehow spikes the ball into Billy's head or whatever. Instead of freaking out, it's just like, oh my God, this is incredible. I really wish they had kind of gone with, like Mark said, I mean, no one really likes the new person at school right away. So I was kind of expecting the guy to be like, oh, watch what you're doing, klutz. Or it would have been more natural instead of him turning around and like immediately smitten.
Yeah. Watch it, new meat.
But back in 2008 when you could get away with saying that to a woman.
Yeah.
I guess what they were trying to portray was her like undeniable beauty, I suppose, where everyone is just immediately attracted to her. But I agree with Anne. I think too many people are just taken with her right away instead of getting to know her personality.
Yeah, like multiple people tell her that she's very funny, and I don't see it.
I don't think Kristen Bell has said a joke her entire life, and not her character is just Kristen Bell.
Yeah, I was saying,
Kristen Stewart.
Kristen Bell.
Let's not shame Kristen Bell in this thrashing here. Have you seen The Good Place, my man?
No, I was going to say...
All right. This is not a Kristen Bell fan podcast, Mark.
I will defend Veronica forever.
Well, Go on. Let me just say real quick, Kristen Bell's a sweetheart, and I love her. I did not mean to... I guess this was my inner
good. Psyche. Thank you, Dan.
Kristen Bell's in this.
But to jump on a point that Dan was trying to make before he said the wrong name, I was actually talking about that to somebody else earlier in the week regarding Kristen Stewart. I was playing Kristen Stewart because I said that, you know, I've seen her in movies where she's not bad. She's better than she is in these movies. And then she's like, well, then she always played the same person. You know, I was like, yeah, well, she plays Kristen Stewart in basically everything she's ever been in. I was like, but so is Tom Cruise has always played Tom Cruise. I think it's just like, Tom Cruise is probably a more interesting person than Kristen Stewart.
Yeah, he emotes better. Kristen Stewart, throughout this whole movie, doesn't emote, or she doesn't emote well. You never know what she's thinking, what she's, even when she's doing something, you don't know how she's feeling about it.
She's the female version of Wiley Wiggins from Dazed and Confused. Yes. She's got hair acting.
Yeah.
Just like, it's just any time she wants to look like she's pensive or not sure of herself, she'll just like push her hair back behind her ear. And that's what you call quote unquote acting.
That's the grab the nose.
Yeah. Her. Grab the nose. Oh my God. I'm so embarrassed. Sort of thing. Yeah, she's not great. But yeah, I don't know what to say, about that. She's not great.
I think throughout this movie, Stewart and Pattinson are kind of dueling each other to see who can emote the least.
Yeah. They're both very dull. And I think the chemistry I think we were talking about earlier, there's like zero.
Yeah. Right. And the funny part is that the other vampires and vampires in general are supposed to be very charismatic. And at least in this movie, he doesn't come across like that at all.
Mm-hmm. No. Like Anthony said, he's been around since, I think he says, 1900s?
1918.
Yeah. 1918. And it's as if he's never spoken to a woman before in his life.
Yeah. He could have spent those 90 years working on his game just a little bit.
Yeah, agreed. He's putting those good looks to waste.
And what's he doing? He just spends his time in high schools? Like, right. He probably has, like, 4 good years in one place, and then he's got to leave because then he graduates. Yeah, so he's, like, voluntarily spending an eternity in high schools?
Yeah, that's the...
How much have you learned?
That's a joke they make later on when they're touring the house and they have the wall of graduation caps.
Right, it's not much of a joke, but my point is that he's going to live for eternity, and he's chosen that.
Yes.
Hey, go to college.
To go to high school 4 years at a time. Let's say that they don't get found out for long enough for him to go. So why can't he just say he's 19, like, forever?
Right.
He's already got a diploma.
And I'm going to jump on something that you just said. If he were to get found out, he does an awful job of hiding who he is.
Absolutely.
So bad. He's worse than Spider-Man and Batman, how they're constantly taking off their masks, showing the Batcave to every chick that comes by them.
He's willing to throw it all away for this chick, for Kristen Stewart.
He risks it all. Because he's constantly giving things away. I could read minds. I'm super, I know exactly where you are at all times. And then he gives the worst excuses ever. He doesn't even try to hide it. Look over there. And he just kind of runs away.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the reason he's drawn to her. He can't read her mind.
That's stupid. Why?
I don't know. I'm assuming
the reason would have made more sense.
Yeah, without watching the other movies, I'm assuming they explain that, because that seems like a pretty big reason as to why he would choose this girl to risk it all for, and the fact that he hasn't had a girl in 90 years.
It's bullshit, first of all.
Yeah.
He's banging chicks everywhere he goes.
Yeah. He has to. I mean, you would assume, but
let's not talk about the physics of that not being realistic, because he's a vampire. He doesn't have a pulse, so he can't possibly get an erection.
Thank you.
Well, he could do other things, I'd imagine. Not all of them's dead.
Sure. But
all of them is dead. Never mind. But he's also he's so boring that when it comes to reading minds, he's also very boring. Because
sex, money.
He goes out to dinner with Bella, and he's explaining that he can read minds, and he's kind of going around the room, and all he says is sex, money, sex, cat, and go into detail, man. Give us something.
And first of all, he comes off really judgmental about the woman that's thinking about her cat.
Yeah. I think it was a guy.
Was it? Either way, he was very judgy.
Yeah.
Right. It's okay to love cats.
Yeah.
So we get to the, I guess we'll just skip through spots here.
Yeah, so there's almost a car accident that
the iconic scene of the movie.
Iconic. So some dude almost crushes Bella with his car, and Edward saves her, and that becomes kind of like their second meet cute, I guess, when she starts thinking that there's more to this Edward guy than just jizzing his pants in biology class. So she invites him to go surfing at the beach, but he doesn't come. And she finds out that Jacob's crew roll down that beach, and they told that the Cullens to stay away from it, blah blah blah. Some bullshit conflict that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and Jacob tries playing it off because, you know, he's so obviously in love with her, as everyone is, apparently, with Bella. Mm-hmm. That he wants to tell her, but then he remembers that he's probably sworn not to tell anybody, you know, about the story of the tribe and all that.
Right.
So he plays it off as a ghost story, essentially.
Yeah. And I mean, that, I feel like out of everything that goes on in this movie, that was the best cover up because it's plausible.
Yeah.
It's an urban legend. It's a myth. Oh, yeah, I'd buy that.
We descend from wolves. Isn't that crazy?
Native Americans. Ooh.
Yeah.
So that happens, and then she goes prom dress shopping with Anna Kendrick and the other girl, Angela.
Best part of the movie. Anna Kendrick in a prom dress.
There you go.
I just lost my wife.
Jen, what do you think about that? Do you think that's the best part?
Is that the best part? She walked away.
Well, now we can do Valentine's Day, buddy.
While they're dress shopping, Bella's not into it. And does she see him? I don't remember how they wind up talking.
No, she leaves and then gets confronted by three, like, undesirable people on the street. That I'm assuming want to rape her because everyone's in love with Bella.
Oh, yeah. No, they're totally about to rape her, which is super weird and super, super intense for this movie.
Yeah.
Why does rape need to come into play here?
Yeah. And then, you know, he shows up driving like he's in Fast and the Furious up the street.
He's driving like a Jetta, like the uncoolest car ever.
His Volvo. Rolling up in his Volvo. And then he does the thing where, you know, talks about, you know, I want to kill them. You don't know what they were thinking. This is where she finds out that he can read minds. You know, and we go into that. And then, you know, they do the, I guess, would this be a third meet cute when he touches her hand and she finds out it's cold?
Yeah, it's icy.
Yeah, I suppose so, right?
Yeah. And then afterwards, I guess the next scene is they, you know, the evil vampires that we haven't even talked about yet that have been running around in the background of this movie kill. Was it the guy from the. No, it probably doesn't even matter.
They kill. I feel like they killed two people in succession. There's one guy that is a friend of her dad's that she sees at a diner that also kind of hitting on her too.
Super creepy vibes given off from this guy.
Yeah.
Oh, so it was that guy. Okay.
He says he played Santa when she was 4.
Oh yeah. That's a creep. That's like a innuendo.
Yeah.
A euphemism if I ever heard one.
played he Santa.
Do you remember when you sat on my lap?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a bad moment, too. So that guy probably got what he deserved.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's assume that that's probably what happened, and yes, he's better off dead.
Yeah. So, you know, they attack him, and then, you know, for some reason on the way back from wherever they were coming from, they drive past the police station or whatever, and they see that, you know, Carlisle, you know, Cullen, the patriarch, his car's there along with her dad's car. So they pull over, and it's a good way to separate them and explain part of the story. And it goes through. You find out this guy's dead. And on the way out, for some reason, she sees the body come across. And then all of a sudden, she starts having flashes in her head. And this is when she decides she needs to Google at this point.
Yeah. And I believe they got Google.
Yeah.
They say they specifically, I think, a few times, even Edward Frank like tells her to Google something about like adrenaline in tough situations.
Yeah, adrenaline rush, Google it.
Yeah, you could Google it.
So yeah, she starts searching for about the legend of the Cold One.
Not a bad nickname.
Yeah.
Not a bad nickname.
Yeah.
And then the next day in school, she sees Edward, and they walk off to the forest so they can confront him.
Because that's what you do when you find out that the guy might be a vampire, is you walk off into the woods by yourself.
So, which leads us to one of the only scenes I remember from like the trailer.
Yeah.
And my wife has been saying it to me for like the past week, where she's like, I know what you are. He's like, say it out loud.
Held.
And then she's like, vampire.
That whole scene is ridiculously shot.
It's so stupid. This is one of the dumbest scenes of the movie, where like he's finally breaking down and admits that he's a vampire, and that's the reason why he's trying to stay away from her. And he's like, so you can't outrun me. You can't overpower me. He just starts running around.
All these
and
jump
throwing
cuts.
Shit. It is a temper tantrum.
Right. And it's not shot well at all.
Yeah. I've killed people. Does that not scare you?
He's just killed her and got it over with. That would everyone would have been so happy if he just ate her.
End credits.
Yeah. That's the movie I'm pitching this week.
Yeah. When she said
40-minute movie. Where he just eats her immediately.
When she's in the woods and she says, but I don't think you could hurt me. Cut to her, just like her dead body up against the tree.
Smash cut.
That sounds like a short skit from like Robot Chicken.
Yeah. that's a good movie to watch, though.
Oh,
so
man.
We find out that the Cullens are vegetarian vampires, which go fuck yourself, to be honest with. Come on.
And that's why I love this movie. Now, let me tell you.
I have some YouTube now.
They eat animals. They drink the blood of animals.
Yeah.
But they're trying really hard not to kill humans.
and this is where we find out
although this is a pretty anti-vegetarian moment, because he's just like I forget, he says something to the point of like never fully, just like vegetarian humans never fully satisfied or something.
Yeah, you can survive, but you're never fully, it's like a human surviving on only tofu.
Yeah,
you know, you can survive, but you're never fully satisfied.
I feel like Mark is lying about how many times he's seen this, because he's getting quotes down pretty well.
I watch movies with the subtitles on.
So do I. but anyway, this is the iconic scene of seeing what happens when they get into direct sunlight.
Yes.
And apparently in this universe, vampires fare better in sunlight than my wife and I do.
Yeah, so
they shimmer.
It is the most infuriating part of the movie for me in terms of someone that enjoys vampire stories. There's some minor little things that I'll probably get into when we're done, but it's just lazy in terms of how they're not only out at night and how they can go to school.
It's a cheat. This whole movie is a cheat because they never have to deal with a sunny day.
Yeah. At least in Vampire Diaries, which I have watched a lot, I will admit that. Their excuse for sunlight is that a witch gave these two particular vampires
shut the fuck up right now.
a daylight ring.
I don't know why, but you meant dropping a witch. A witch did it. Just makes that even worse. I'd rather shimmering vampires.
What I'm saying is that there's at least a story there. This is just like, oh, fuck it. We sparkle. That's why we can't do it. Like
the one thing that I don't get about the sparkle is Edward says, I can't go out into the sunlight because people will know who we are. If I saw that, I'd have no clue what you were. I would just, honestly, I would think that you were, you know, gay. But...
or Kesha.
Yeah.
I just came from a strip club. It's glitter.
That explains Kesha.
But yeah.
She's a vampire.
If I'm hanging out with Edward and for some reason I'm in the woods and he says that to me, the last thing that goes through my mind is vampire.
Yeah.
But your secret would have been safe, man. You would have been fine.
Yeah. Like if that just happened in class one day where it's just like, oh, well, I guess you guys all know what I am now. It's like,
congratulations.
You're a stripper.
You wear glitter.
You're so brave. You're so brave.
I'm assuming it's the way the scene plays out is I'm assuming it's supposed to make him look ugly. The shimmer, yeah. You know, because she starts going, well, they look like diamonds or gems or something.
She wants to fuck diamonds.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. And it's just like she's supposed to be making him feel better about it.
He looks fabulous. What can you say?
Yeah. But all this is look like he dumped a bucket of glitter over himself.
It's Carrie but with glitter.
But even Anna Quino, 2019,
even the whole Twilight. Overcast thing is bullshit.
It's like Carrie but with glitter.
Just perfect. Even the whole Overcast thing is bullshit though. It's not direct sunlight, so we could go out.
That why they call it Twilight?
I don't know.
I
have no idea. I honestly have no idea.
Happens at night, now that you mention it.
My assumption would be the reason I think her genius mind would think it has something to do with the eventual story of the wolves to needing a full moon.
Uh-huh.
You know, has something to do with
She is playing three-dimensional chess.
Yeah, I'm assuming she thought she was a genius thinking of that.
My wife informed me that the books follow the moon phases. So, I guess Twilight. What's another phase of the moon?
How do you explain Breaking Dawn, Jen?
Breaking Dawn. That's not a phase of the moon. Well, I guess it is, right? It's the moon is gone.
The sun.
I don't know. A new moon.
The moon could be out in the morning.
That's true.
Jen, if you're gonna drop these, you gotta sit in.
I love my wife so much because she before the podcast she's so cute. Before the podcast started, she's like, "Oh, you're gonna do a Twilight episode without me? That's fine." And then we're like, "Come on, you could join it." No, I don't want to do it. Playing hard to get. She's so coy. I love her so much.
But yeah, so this is, at this point, this is where the movie sort of takes off and not a whole lot interesting happens. I think this is when they become like the cool couple at school.
Oh,
and they have that entrance
so
scene.
Cool.
Can I correct you on something, Mark?
Yeah.
nothing interesting happens throughout this whole movie.
There is one particular scene that is pretty excellent, and we'll get to it. But first, she has to go meet the rest of the Cullens. And nothing interesting happens there, except they cook for her, but she already ate.
Yeah, and I love the thing where they assume that because her name's Bella that she's Italian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's her real name?
Bella Swan.
Or her full name, like is it Abella or?
I think it's
Isabella.
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 Isabella Swan. And some of them are a little bit more not great around her, specifically Rosalie.
Yeah. Rosalie's like the one that makes the most sense at most times.
Hashtag like, Rosalie was right.
Right. Yeah. Like,
is that a real hashtag?
No.
Oh, okay. No.
No. But you know, she's the one that goes, why is she here? Why did you, you know, why'd you bring this when, you know, we have someone that's just becoming a vampire in the house, you know? And then later on, she asked Edward, you know, like, what does she mean to me? You know, why am I helping her? You know, she's the one that makes the most sense of any of the Cullens.
So she's the most down to earth, or... she's the most, like, she's the smartest.
Yeah, she's supposed smartest. To be, she's supposed to be the bitch of the family.
She's the pragmatic one.
Yeah, but she's the truth teller.
Yeah.
Okay. Do they all have special, does anyone have special powers? Or
yes. Okay. Edward could read minds. Alice can see into the future. But I don't know. They didn't go through everybody else's. Not that I remember. Does it come up later, Mark?
I'm trying to think. If those are the three main ones that play throughout the other one being that Edward's really fast. They're the fastest of the family.
Oh right, we find that out in the next scene.
Yeah, yeah. So
they're like a crossbreed of vampire and mutants.
Sort of.
Okay.
They don't have fangs. There's no fangs in this fucking movie.
I think he covers them in the
when he
jizzing in the pants.
When he jizzes in his pants. Yeah. That's how they get around that. They just completely make these, like, literally and figuratively, completely impotent.
Yeah. They're not good vampires.
Yeah.
They're castrated.
Yeah, sense of the word. Blade would take them out super easily.
Yeah, absolutely. So the next rainy day, Edward takes Bella out on a date to go play baseball with his family, without a doubt one of the worst scenes in any movie in the last 15 years.
Why is that?
You've seen it, right?
Nope.
Did you miss this?
I did.
Did you not get? Oh my goodness!
I pulled the plug.
Oh man, this was the only scene I was looking forward to while watching this movie.
Can I say something real quick?
Sure.
Is it a good thing for this podcast? Don't we want to have someone not finish the movie?
I don't think so. I don't think that's the point. Well,
because we're showcasing how some of us just can't, like, we can't handle certain amounts of this. You know what I mean?
I feel like you're trying to spin your laziness.
100%. But regardless, it's also a good thing.
Sure.
I'm going to stick to that.
The only two baseball things I can say is that Rosalie looks like she probably played softball at some point, because she actually looks like she knows how to swing a bat pretty realistically.
Yeah, you know who doesn't look like who's ever picked up a baseball before is Alice.
Yep. That is terrible pitching.
Uh-huh.
And also, being the baseball nerd I am, when they when Jasper comes into play, he's literally standing like on top of
Oh my god, that annoyed the shit out of me. You throw that high and inside.
Dust them off.
He'd be out of the batter's box.
Yeah.
That's how close to the plate he is.
An inch off the plate. Just hanging right over it. Oh my god. And then like they're fighting each other to catch the ball in the outfield. What's that about?
I have no idea. This scene makes absolutely no sense. The only part of the scene that makes any sense, and it's even ridiculous, is the fact that they have to wait for a thunderstorm to play. It's like, okay, they make a lot of loud noise because of how powerful they are. Okay. So everything else, stupid. Like, yeah, everything else about it, like, before you even get to that, like, why do they play baseball? Why don't they play other sports that don't involve them hitting a ball with a metal bat?
Are they Seattle Mariner fans?
Yeah, like, it's like everything about the reason this is all going on, and even the rules of the game, because apparently they never play with an umpire and they cheat all the time, is the first thing that Esme says.
One thing that made me really nervous, and I don't know why, because I know it wasn't going to happen, but they make Kristen Stewart like call balls and strikes without like a mask on.
Yeah.
And she's right in there too. Again, yeah. They no concept of space in terms of this baseball game. No.
Are they doing? Is it overhand or like underhand?
It's overhand, but the windup that Alice has is garbage.
Yeah, yeah. She's like watched baseball before.
She throws flat foot.
Oh yeah. God!
But she does a high leg kick.
Baseball's been around for over 100 years at this point. You should know how to play baseball.
Yeah, well, they have to wait for thunderstorms apparently, which is so stupid.
They should have been playing baseball forever, and I'm sure they've gotten better.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, I think Edward's excuse is something like, because Bell even asks, "Why do you play baseball?" And he says something to the effect of like, "It's America's sport. Yo, it's America's pastime," and that's the explanation.
A decent explanation, at least.
Like,
at least they give you a reason.
This is where we meet probably the three vampires that are most like vampires in this entire movie.
Yeah. Their baseball game gets interrupted by the evil vampires. And they're just kind of moseying through. They're getting chased by the cops, basically. And then they're like, oh, we're just passing through. Mind if we play? And then they're like, sure. Yeah. And then that damn wind picks up again. Just like in the biology class. And James, the evil vampire, gets a whiff of Bella. And that's where he goes ape shit. And he's decided that he's going to eat her one way or the other.
Yeah. Yeah. My favorite part of the protecting Bella moment is that Edward says, stand behind me. And I'm like, wouldn't it be better if she was like in the middle of all of you? Rather, you know how fast these are. If she's behind them, they could grab her before you guys could react. Theoretically,
but they're all super fast as well.
Yeah, but it was just like, wouldn't they form a circle anyway? But yeah, it's one of these like, and they do the fast explanation on these guys as well. They don't even get into why. I'm assuming she comes, you know, they explain it later, but you know, they go into detail quickly about James in a few scenes. But then they just say, oh, Victoria, she's like nothing I've ever seen before. Watch out for her. And then, you know, that's it. Mm-hmm.
Question for you.
Does
Anna Kendrick show up anymore in this movie?
Yes.
Okay, good. Keep going.
Does she? I don't even remember.
Well, they have the prom scene at the end.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
So James is now on the hunt. Edward's plan is that they're going to catch a ferry to Vancouver.
Yes.
But Bella wants to go home first. But Edward says they have to find James, rip him apart, and burn his pieces. Which comes out of nowhere in this movie. Where there's been nothing but lame, sparkly vampires. And now we're talking about dismemberment.
So we know we go from 0 to 100 real quick.
Yeah, it's like it's completely tonally all over the place. But Bella has to go home first to pack her stuff, and while she's there, she wants to make sure her dad feels terrible while she leaves. So she she makes him feel like shit, saying it's his fault that she is leaving. So they drive away. And then they help me out here, Mark. What happens now?
Yeah, so they basically come up with a plan. The original plan from Edward was that he was just going to drive her south, I guess, go to Arizona. Is essentially what I took it as. And then, you know, they go, well, James is an elite tracker, something that's never been seen for 300 years. Or, you know, they get some information from the third vampire who also turns on them for no reason in this scene. And then they decide that what they're going to do is have the two weakest vampires drive Bella south while the rest of them run with her scent, which apparently is the jackets. And they're going to try and, like, lead him north. And then it becomes a really ridiculous moment when I believe he says something like "mark the tree," like a dog would.
Mm.
You know,
I don't remember.
And then I think one of them rubs up against the tree, and then they keep running. And for some reason, at this point, this is when the tracker realizes that they're trying to dupe him.
Mm-hmm.
So they turn around to head back south, or he turns around to follow the other, I guess, where the other way the scent's going. And this is where we find out about, Alice's power, in detail.
Mm-hmm. And then she sees visions of Bella becoming a vampire.
Yeah. So, and this is a key thing, just thinking about it while we were sitting here, that this is their foreshadowing four movies beforehand. About what happens at the end of Breaking Dawn Part 2 is that Jesper explains as she's drawing like this room with all mirrors in it that, that yes, her visions are subjective, but she only sees the path they're on. And if someone changes their mind, everything changes.
Right. So then Edward and Bella are getting like a hotel room. Or something like that?
Yeah, well, the three of them are originally in the hotel room, and then James calls Bella because it acts like he's kidnapped her mother. It's sort of like the phone call scene from, like, Terminator 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bella makes another stupid decision, like she's made throughout the movie, that she decides to actually go meet this vampire by herself in the ballet studio, which is the room with many mirrors.
Right.
In it.
Because James says, show up with nobody else and I'll spare your mom's life.
Yeah.
So she goes there. There's a struggle ensues. James knocks her around, breaks her leg. Edward shows up. And they fight.
Yeah, which I have to say, the room they set this battle up in could have been used a lot better than it was. Could have fucked with her a lot more with the multiple mirrors. And it's just very straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
It's the big action scene and, it's not really much in terms of, too much actual action.
Yeah. It's kind of dark. It's really not. Yeah. It's the filmmaking in this scene isn't great.
No.
But James manages to bite Bella on the arm, and sure enough, the good vampires eventually overpower James, and they pull him apart set him on fire.
It might be my favorite moment in the movie is when Alice just runs over, climbs on him, grabs his head, and just rips it off in like one motion out of when she's shown no, signs of violence at any point.
Yeah. It's again
just one smooth motion.
Again, it's another weird tonal shift
where
a vampire gets decapitated and dismembered. They burn the body, and then Edward has to suck out the venom from James's bite so that Bella won't turn into a vampire. He does so and then has trouble containing himself. She passes out and eventually wakes up in the hospital bed.
Yeah.
Her mom is there and says that, you know, they have some story about her falling through glass, through a window, and falling down a flight of stairs and breaking her leg.
And I'm assuming one of them has the power to make people believe whatever they tell them.
Maybe. Assuming,
you know, because, you know, they would have to have convinced, you know, doctors not to look into it, the mother not to go, what room, what hotel, you know, to do all that. So that was my assumption, is that, you know, maybe it's my hoping some good vampire traits, you know, get pushed onto these vampires. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
well, that's what I thought. According to the synopsis, the story is believable because Bella is a very clumsy and awkward person.
Yeah.
So that's tied up into a neat little bow.
I like the memory thing better than her being clumsy.
Sure. So at first her mom thinks that she wants her to come home, but she really just wants to move back to Forks with her dad because Edward's there. Ooh la la. And she goes back home with a leg in a cast, and she attends the prom while Edward goes to park the car. Jacob pops down next to Bella, who goes to school at the reservation, so this isn't even his prom. And he tells Bella that his dad wants her to break up with Edward. And she's like, oh, well, that's okay. I'm not going to break up with him. And he's like, we'll be watching you. And she's like, oh, that's weird. All right.
And the funny part in this scene, he seems like the more like normal boyfriend. You know, like he was nice and looking out for her, and then Edward just comes and sort of just rips her away.
She offers to turn her into a vampire to Edward. And he goes in to act like he's going to bite her on the neck. And he ends up just kissing it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the end of the movie.
Yeah, yeah. Anna Kendrick's in it. They show her in the prom dress again, Dan.
My man.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Forgot that I was supposed to weigh in on that. And that's Twilight Part 1. Thoughts?
Yeah, so the things I didn't get to rant about throughout that is that one major thing from, you know, the stories of vampires that I don't understand, because it helps a lot in the story, is that at no point they completely ignore the thing about vampires needing to be invited in places, you know, to be able to get into people's houses, because he admits that he just freely, which very creepy, and we glossed over this, that he would come into her house for months and just watch her sleep.
Oh yeah, I forgot all about that. That's the creepiest part of this whole movie. She wakes up from a sleep, and he is just sitting there on her bed staring at her, and he said he comes in all the time and just watches her sleep because he doesn't have to sleep, so he just finds watches it
fascinating.
Very creepy.
Yeah,
what do you say about that, Jen?
She's not here.
She got too real for her.
But yeah, overall, without watching the other four movies to compare, I still think this movie probably, for lack of a better term, is the good one of the five, because it doesn't go too far off the her version of vampires and eventually werewolves here. And it's a very you know, contained story, and the story really could have ended here. But obviously with the other books, they were going to do more. They do that shot at the end where Victoria is at the prom, and that she walks off, and that's the freeze frame in the movie, because, you know, obviously she's going to be causing havoc. And the one bit of trivia I did remember, and had to look up and see, for some reason, I didn't look deep into why. I have an assumption as to why, just from memory and not so much research. But they replaced the actress with Bryce Dallas Howard for the third movie that plays Victoria.
Correct.
Yeah, and it's only for that movie.
Well, I think the actress dies.
No. The actress is in Breaking Dawn.
I just took a guess. I didn't know.
I think she was... my guess was, I think she might have been pregnant when they were filming Eclipse. But yeah, that would have been my guess.
Gotta keep it wrapped up if you want to keep your job, ladies.
Yes, it's the only reason I could see them recasting it, because if they wanted Bryce Dallas Howard, I'm assuming they could have gotten her for the first one. She wasn't that big of a star in 2008.
She probably done Spider-Man 3 at that point.
It would have been right around there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but yeah. Anyway, my final thought on it is it's one of those movies that if they did a couple things, you know, differently, they could have made more believable vampires. But in total, there was nothing really. Normally we say, oh, there's a good movie in here somewhere. I think this is very tropey and romance stuff, and everything's rushed, and, you know, they were trying to do the thing that got, that gets some comic book movies in trouble, is that they tried to stick too close to the source material. And in some cases, you can't actually put that stuff on film without it looking ridiculous. Like the baseball scene, like that's probably in the book. But actually filming what she probably wrote doesn't work, and it just makes the movie ridiculous. So, yeah, I don't know if you guys have any other final thoughts.
Dan?
Yeah, two things real quick. According to Jen, the original actress had a conflict with another film she was a part of.
Okay.
And she thought Edward watching Bella sleep for months without her knowing was creepy AF. # Team Jacob.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So we're choosing sides here now.
All right. It's hard for us to choose sides because Jacob isn't really part of this movie.
He is,
and then he's at the end, but he doesn't wolf out in this movie at all.
She's saying if you're a real man, you choose.
Ooh.
Yeah, where
are we getting these updates?
I'm receiving text messages.
Does she hear us?
Yeah, she's in the other room.
Okay. For the sake of argument, I'm gonna say I'm Team Edward.
Okay.
I remember. And rewatching this movie, I probably would have, if gun to my head, chosen it. I am Team Jacob, but I chose Team Jacob originally just because my sister was Team Edward, and I just wanted to annoy the shit out of her, as a younger brother does.
Right, but if we're talking about just strictly this movie, there's not even a question.
Yes.
So, because Jacob he's barely in this movie.
It would be. Yeah, for this movie, my choice would be I'd be Team Anna Kendrick.
Now there's a team I want to join.
I tell the story, and I don't know how funny it is, but when they did the end credits,
that's a great story.
Yeah. When they did the end credits, you know, the girls in there when Robert Pattinson's name came up, just went nuts and did the teen bopper scream thing. And then, so when Anna Kendrick's name came up, I stood up and gave it standing ovation to it. And the only one in the theater, and my sister's grabbing my arm, trying to get me to sit down.
Yeah. I mean, if I had to choose, and apparently I must, my marriage depends upon it. I was going to go Edward because he's the only one you see. But my wife sent me a GIF of Jacob taking his shirt off.
Sorry, what?
A GIF.
Oh, no, you're a soft G.
Oh, listen, I like to pronounce it correctly, and, you know, sue me.
Do you also like to go yogging?
Yes, I do. I'm also, oh, geez, it's a hard G, according to Jen, marriage over. I gotta say, because of the GIF of Jacob taking his shirt off, I'm strictly Team Jacob, exclusively Team Jacob. This guy's got a pair of pecs that will.
In this movie, though.
Not in this movie.
He's very scrawny in this movie.
Listen, he's a stud muffin though, and he's got traps. He's built.
Oh yeah, no, he totally roids out hardcore for the next couple of movies.
On a more serious note, I hated this movie, but not because it's a bad movie, but because it's a boring movie.
It's so dull.
Yes, nothing exciting happens, and the love story is a paint by numbers love story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like I said, I don't think I've seen the second one or the third one. But I know from the fourth and the fifth one, not much ever really happens in any of those movies. It's a lot of people standing around.
Yeah.
Standing around in very nice houses. Like the direction is like, there's nothing for these actors to do.
Yeah.
Besides just enter rooms and say their dialogue.
Yeah, and the one most interesting part of the movie is completely retconned.
Oh yeah, this is for a future episode. Oh, we're gonna cover that. Breaking Dawn Part 2 has my wife made me watch it. I watched it, and then when the twist happened, I yelled out, "Oh, go fuck yourself."
Yeah. And my response was a literal out loud in a theater full of preteens that were so happy that that twist did not happen.
What was it?
So, the whole, we'll just spoil it here because
who cares, right?
Breaking Dawn Part 2 is all the way down the line for our podcast.
We're going to watch them all in order. That's the new thing.
For Breaking Dawn Part 2 is all a lead up of this kind of special council of vampires that are pissed off that Edward has had a baby with a human. It's a whole bunch of stupid made up vampire politics. Really ridiculous. Yeah. But they're essentially the evil vampires in that movie, and they're coming here to destroy their daughter, I guess, or destroy them all in general. And there's this huge battle scene, and it's like 20 minutes long, and there's like about a half dozen decapitations, and it's the most interesting thing that's happened entire series of movies. And it's like, all right, finally. And then all of a sudden, there's a quick cut, and it winds up that the battle has never happened, and it's just Alice showing the head evil vampire of if they have a fight, that's what's going to happen.
Aww.
Yeah, it zoom out from her eyes.
Yeah. And that's well, we don't want that, so we're just going to go.
Yeah.
And that's how that movie ends. All of the most interesting stuff to happen through five movies never actually happening.
Yeah.
That's an awful direction to take that.
Mm-hmm. And that's when I yelled out.
But Dan, everyone gets to live.
I don't care. That's terrible. I want them all to die.
Well, at least painful, that was
painful deaths.
Oh God. And they literally kill off main characters in that scene.
Oh yeah. Lots of people die.
Yeah, I think like only maybe two of the Cullens survive. You know, I may be wrong. It might have been all of them, you know, perish. But they very clearly, you know, the only one of their deaths I remember is they very clearly ripped the head off of Carlisle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've never seen so many decapitations before in my life.
Yeah.
It's a good sign.
Yeah.
And
but
then takes it all away.
Yep.
All for naught.
Oh, God.
This movie's dull as fuck. I can't believe they were stuck doing. I almost feel bad for the actors because they're obviously not having a good time.
I don't. They made so much money off these movies.
They were stuck for five movies though. Imagine that. I mean, it's like 5 years of your life. I've been stuck. We've all been stuck in jobs that we hate for much less money. But yeah. It's too bad they couldn't just been like, you know what? One movie was enough.
I would imagine that by Breaking Dawn, everyone in that film felt like Harrison Ford.
With Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Just get me out of here.
Just, oh, fuck it. Whatever.
I don't want to come back to this anymore.
Let's film both parts at the same time. Let's just...
Yeah.
But... Listen, again, how many houses did these movies pay for and how many acting jobs did they get after these movies? Come on, it's...
Yeah. It all works out in the end for them.
Right, right. It's a necessary evil for these people.
Yeah, and the most famous actress from the movie is one that has a bit part in most of it.
Mm-hmm.
True. Very true. But she, you know, she got away with it relatively unscathed. I didn't know she was in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I saw a tweet from her recently where she's like, oh shit, I completely forgot I was in Twilight.
And that just goes to show you.
But the one good thing we got out of it is her impersonation of Kristen Stewart is freaking amazing. And spot on. If there's one thing we got from those movies, it's those moments where, you know, she can pull that out at any time. And I don't know if it pisses Kristen off, but it's a very well done impersonation.
I gotta find this impersonation.
All right. Yeah, so that's our take of Twilight. Incredibly dull. More or less, that's our take from it. And that we just want to see Anna Kendrick in more things.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's our takeaway from Twilight. Our Valentine's Day special. Are you guys ready to play some, they called this trivia contest?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said you didn't have that. Okay.
No, I didn't have anything written down. I didn't have my notes. I didn't write down plot notes.
Okay.
No, I do have this, 10 questions. And they are all romantic movie trivia questions. And I know who goes first this time. Mark, you are first this week. Okay, so 10 questions. I do not have a tiebreaker. So
let's tie, Dan.
So let's try not to tie. I could probably come up with one if I need to, but okay, Mark.
Yes.
What Law and Order veteran voiced Lumiere, the Candlestick, in the animated version of Beauty and the Beast?
Law and Order veteran.
I know exactly who it is. I don't know his name.
Is it, I'm trying to go through them all in my head. Does it matter if I get clarification on what you mean by Law and Order? Do you mean the actual Law and Order, or is it one of the spinoffs?
You can't take a guess, Mark.
Okay, sorry. I don't know. Vincent D'Onofrio?
Nope.
No.
Dan, can you...
He's from SVU. And he's dead. I know exactly who it is. I know his face. I just don't remember his name. Okay. I don't know.
It is Jerry Orbach.
Oh, it is. Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
I couldn't remember his name.
I didn't even know it was him.
You dodged a ball up there, Mark.
Yes, so Jerry Orbach voiced Lumiere, which I knew, but I forgot about, and then I looked it up today.
Never knew it.
Yeah.
I knew that.
All right, Dan, your question. What landmark New York restaurant is the setting of the famous fake orgasm scene in When Harry Met Sally?
I never saw that movie. Carmine's?
It's incorrect. Yeah, Mark?
Cat's Deli.
Cat's Deli is correct. 1-0.
I'll have what she's having.
Don't make this weird, Mark. All right. Okay, Mark. In yes. Moonstruck, Nicolas Cage's character, Ronnie, has a disability. What is it?
I don't know if it's so much a disability, but I was trying to think of the name of the movie. But is it insomnia?
It is not. No. Okay. Dan.
Tourette's?
No, but I would watch a Nicolas Cage movie where he has Tourette's.
That's true. Yeah, I've never saw Moonstruck either.
He has one hand.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's much more of a disability.
Yes.
All right, Dan. We're going. What rich person sporting event does Richard Gere's character Edward bring Julia Roberts' Vivian to in Pretty Woman?
Horse racing?
Incorrect. Mark.
Rich person sporting event. Is it polo?
It is polo.
Yes.
Mark's got a commanding 2-0 lead. Yes. All right.
Yes. I can just mark him a little fist pump.
Yes.
Okay, Mark. In The Princess Bride, Inigo Montoya famously says, "My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die."
Yes.
Who killed his father?
You know, I should know this because I did research for Stranger Damies to find this line. God. Is it the king? But I don't know if I need to be specific.
It is not.
Yeah.
Dan.
Six-fingered man, right?
That is right.
I don't know his actual name.
Okay. The name is Count Rugen, played by Christopher Guest.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. I'm close but no cigar with me.
Mm-hmm. All right.
The old guy from Law and Order that died.
Yeah. I knew he was on SVU. I used to watch it all the time.
See, I would have guessed he was on the original one.
He's
so
on the original,
good.
Yeah. Huh. He may have been on SVU like early
on. I think he wound up being like Ice-T's partner on SVU.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that sounds right. Okay, Dan. What band do Summer and Tom both have an affinity for in 500 Days of Summer?
Jesus Christ, man. Is it a real band or fictional band?
It's a real band.
Real band.
They sing one of their songs together in the elevator.
The Beatles?
It's incorrect. Mark.
Queen?
No.
No.
The answer is the Smiths.
Okay. Yeah. Ooh. That sounds like the band that movie would promote.
Yeah, because it is.
Yeah.
Mark.
Yeah.
Still got a 2-0 lead. What concert did the two main characters attend in How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days?
Concert. I don't know. Lilith Fair?
No. Dan.
I don't know.
Don't feel that I wouldn't have known this one either.
These fucking questions, man. Who was it?
The funny part, these are all movies I've seen, but I don't remember any of this.
Yeah, and these are basic questions too. I mean, like, I wouldn't know this because I haven't seen How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. The answer is Celine Dion.
I've seen
that movie a bunch of times too. I don't remember that.
Yeah. All right, Dan. It's another question I wouldn't know.
Great.
But it's guessable regardless.
Okay.
What sport does Ryan O'Neal's character play while attending Harvard College in Love Story?
Never heard of that movie. No idea who that is. Is it rowing?
It is not rowing. Mark.
Is it tennis?
It is not. It's hockey.
Interesting. Well, what is it called when... is it row?
Crew.
Crew. Thank you. Yeah.
The Winklevoss twins and Social Network.
That's what I was kind of going off of.
All right. Mark.
Yes.
Who does Kathy Bates play in Titanic?
Fuck, I know this because they made a movie about her too. I know at least part of this is right, but Maggie Brown?
Not quite.
Okay. If I wasn't winning, I would argue, but...
Oh, thanks, Mark. Okay. You're so kind. Maggie Brown. Maggie White.
That's incorrect.
I don't know.
Kathy Bates plays the historical figure, the unsinkable...
Who?
The unsinkable Molly Brown.
Molly Brown.
You caught us. Oh, sorry.
I can't give it to you because she's a real person, Mark.
No. I'm not going to take the point, but...
Yeah. Oh, no, you're not getting the point.
I would have argued for a half a point if it was tied.
Because you got the surname, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
All right, Dan. Somehow you got to get 2 points out of this one. Who wrote Breakfast at Tiffany's?
Song?
No. Not Deep Blue Something.
Because I would have known that.
The book and the movie.
Fuck you, Ant.
this is very knowable.
Great. Jesus.
I didn't know about both.
F. Scott Fitzgerald?
Incorrect. I appreciate the guess, though.
Mark.
I'm trying to think. You threw me off a little bit between saying they wrote the book and the movie, because I thought they were further apart than that. Would it be? I don't know. For the time period, I'm going to throw out. Was it Oscar Wilde?
It was not.
Okay.
The answer is Truman Capote.
Okay.
All right. So
it makes more sense now.
It does make more sense now, doesn't it?
No, that it would have been like I couldn't think of anybody that would have done both.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it makes sense for that.
I think Mark should get half a point because he said Capote while you were saying Capote. Only fair. Only fair.
Okay, then he's got 2.5 points to your nothing. And Mark is Mark just streaking on this year? He's
I think I might have lost one streak so far.
These questions. Fuck these questions, man.
So I would say that I probably could have gotten 1, 2, 3. I would have gotten 5 of those.
Okay.
So not all of them. I try and keep one question per movie. So that's why some of these get a little more difficult than others. Yeah. But that's the episode, our Valentine's Day episode. I hope you guys are now in the mood to bone each other on the just bone until you're unconscious, both of you, whoever's out there listening. And I hope in 7 months or 9 months, because that's how long it takes for a baby to make, you name a baby after one of us.
Yes.
That would be an interesting story to tell your kid.
One of our very common first names.
Yeah.
That's very possible.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with any of our names.
Nope.
I want to see an email from someone in 9 months saying thank you for giving us our firstborn child.
Mm-hmm. So any October babies out there? Or yeah. Why can't I fucking do math? November babies.
Well, you're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome. You guys got any pluggables?
My Twitter account is, I'm pretty active.
There you go.
Theaquino122. Either talking about baseball, comic books, or just, you know, being a nice guy and giving away all my money.
To follow
on Twitter? You're giving away all your money on Twitter?
I give my money away everywhere, man.
He's one of those guys that goes, if this happens, whoever retweets me, I'll give them $5.
I'm a sucker. I'm a sucker, but yeah, you can follow me on there. You can follow my wife as well. And she's a fountain of Twilight knowledge. Jenny_Aquino. And again, I'm the Aquino122. And that's it for me.
Tell Jen if she wants to resurrect the MCU podcast with a Twilight episode, I'd be more than happy to come on and debate her on it.
Oh God, because that'll just end poorly for me. You guys are gonna, it's gonna start,
or even
off,
better, if she wants to do a commentary on Twilight.
That would be cool. I would do that with her. I'm not gonna do a debate because it's gonna start out friendly, and then someone's gonna say something. it's gonna get all hot and bothered, and
it's gonna be Ant's opening line. This movie is trash.
I'll fucking kill you. I know where you live, motherfucker.
Mark, what do you have to plug? Anything?
Well, the normal. We have Stranger Damies. Comes out every Wednesday. We're, at this point, 2 episodes into our last session that we did that featured a guest star, Stephanie. So our first guest star here. It was nice. Nice new, you know, energy to the session and to the recording itself. So that'll be going through, and then, we'll probably have I'm hoping if we, do another session soon, maybe have a Talking to Strangers soon, if she's, been with us for 2 sessions, and just get her thoughts on the craziness that we do. You can follow that on Twitter at Stranger Damies. The Instagram is really, as the kids say, hopping right now.
wait, do the kids say that?
Say it's either lit or turnt.
Yeah.
Of all the words, those kids say hopping.
Or is it popping?
I had the word hopping in my head, and I'm just like, I'm just gonna make a joke out of this because for some reason I can't think of good words right now. So yeah, great artwork from Dan's wife Jenny. Is going on there. We're doing a 30 days thing of 30 questions relating to Dungeons and Dragons, so you can find out all of our answers there. For that, comment with your answers to the questions or any constructive criticism of the answers we already have there. That's where we'll be making announcements and things like that on there in terms of as we progress forward with the podcast. But yeah, and if you want to just follow my random form of bullshit that's on my Twitter account, I'm at Off the Mark Tweet. I tend to more reply and retweet than actual put my own tweets up there. Make sure you follow along. Maybe I'll make a snarky comment about something you say. So that's all I got. Ant.
All right. I am at Ant Delvec. You can find me there. This is They Call This Movie. You can find us on They Call This Movie.podbean.com. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Podcasts, all that good stuff. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at The Main Damie. So if you want to hit us up any of those places, that's where you can find us. If you want to send us an email, you can hit us up at themaindamie@gmail.com. And I think that's everything. I think that's every. Yep. I've mentioned every place to get a hold of us. So that's going to wrap it up for our Valentine's Day episode of They Called Us a Movie. The movie's been Twilight. The director is Catherine Hardwicke. So for Dan Aquino and Mark Myers, this is Anthony Delvecchio telling Catherine Hardwicke to go fuck herself.